Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. Hallelujah. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet circumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law works wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Wow, Romans chapter 4, one of the most profound and powerful revelations to men and women all over the world who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, who have a genuine faith that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And our faith is likened unto Abraham's faith. Now, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but he had faith in what God had promised him, that the Messiah would actually come out of his loins according to the flesh. And Abraham went out. And here we are, a dispensation within the age of grace, that all people around the world that have faith in God who sent his son to this world to die for our sins, well, the promise of righteousness has been given to us through our faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, we have been in the age of grace for 2,000 years, the unmerited favor of God, the divine influence upon the heart that is reflected in the life of every true believer that has received grace. There is an out expression of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Ladies and gentlemen, the grace of God, the doxa of God, the chorus of God, the colorful cheer of God. It's like Joseph's many-colored coat, that the favor of God was on his life. Well, our many-colored coat is the grace that God has given to us. We put it on, and with the favor of God is on our lives, and it's all according to faith. I like what one preacher said recently. He said, well, we are living in the age where Abraham was, not where Israel under the law was, because Israel under the law has come to a conclusion, and we're back to where faith began with Abraham in the new covenant. So the new covenant is all about faith and grace, and that's how we're saved. Not faith plus works, not faith plus loving God. Do you know you're not even saved by loving God? We are simply saved by God's unmerited favor, God's gift, God's grace. We are saved by receiving, and then, of course, it's not too difficult to fall in love with a God who loves us that much. And so relationship grows, but salvation comes through faith in Jesus, that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Why is that important? Because we're going to have a super clear conscience in the days ahead for what's coming down the pike in the world today. Let me give you a little example of some news that's going on. Israel is bracing for Iranian counterstrike. The Israeli Defense Forces on yesterday, revealed new information about the deployment of Iranian air defenses in Syria, further exposing Tehran's attempts to entrench itself militarily in the war-torn country. In an apparent effort at deterrence, Israeli media was provided by the IDF with a map showing 5 Iranian-controlled bases in Syria, which would apparently constitute potential targets for an Israeli response should Iran carry out any kind of attack. Tensions between Israel and Iran have been steadily escalating since an Iranian drone that breached Israeli airspace on February 10th was shot down by the Israeli Air Force. Israeli fighter jets later targeted the mobile control center of the T-4 air base from which it was piloted. Seven members of Iran's elite Quds force were killed in the strike, including the commander of its drone unit in Syria. The drone appeared to be a relatively new stealth model known as a Sake, whose design was stolen from an American unmanned aerial vehicle that was captured by Iran in 2011, according to aviation analysts. Now, during the Syrian counterattack against the Israeli jets, one F-16 was hit by anti-aircraft fire and crashed in a field in northern Israel after the pilot navigator ejected from it. So in response to that drowning, or the downing of the fighter jet, Israel launched a large-scale attack on Syria's air defenses, destroying between one-third and one-half of its capabilities, according to the IDF. So IDF spokesman Brigadier General Ronan Manalis reported that the Iranian drone operated from T-4, which had been armed and was en route to carry out an attack on Israeli forces, and was not merely on an information-gathering mission. One senior Israeli security official told the New York Times that attempted attack was unprecedented and represented a shift in Iranian policy. He said, quote, "This is the first time we saw Iran do something against Israel, not by proxy," the senior Israeli security official said. "This opened a new period." Now, according to Tuesday's report by Channel 10, Iran's buildup in Syria in preparation for a direct conflict with the Jewish state has included the deployment of advanced airborne weapons platforms, including drone aircraft shipments of weapons disguised as humanitarian aid, and Iranian military flights conducted under the cover of civilian airplane companies. So, fuming over the strike, Iran has vowed to exact vengeance on Israel. Tehran is now believed to be preparing for a sustained campaign of direct confrontation with Israel, with plans to use the Iranian military's growing presence in Syria to launch attacks on targets inside the Jewish state. For decades, the radical Islamist regime in Tehran has engaged in a de facto war with Israel via proxies, using terror groups in the Gaza Strip and Lebanon to attack Israeli civilian and military targets. On Tuesday, however, Israeli security officials revealed that Iran is now preparing for a direct assault on Israel, using its growing military assets on Israel's northern border to strike targets inside the Jewish state. When he talks about a proxy war here, we're talking about Hezbollah or Hamas, you know, coming out of the Gaza Strip or from Lebanon. So the Iranian foreign ministry spokesman, Bahram Qasemi, said Monday that Israel will receive a blow for what it did at the T-4 base. "The days when the Zionist regime would hit and run are over. I suggested the Israelis to refrain from foolish steps if they want to continue their treacherous existence," he warned. Wow. The IDF said Tuesday that the deployment of Iranian air defenses in Syria was personally supervised by Quds Force Commander Major General Qasem Soleimani, who, one of the most powerful military figures in the Iranian regime. Iran has access to a variety of surface-to-surface missiles, from short-range Fajar 5 rockets to medium-range Fateh 110 missiles, which have a range of approximately 300 kilometers or 190 miles, to long-range Shahab ballistic missiles capable of hitting targets over 800 miles away. To counter those threats, Israel has a multi-tiered missile defense system consisting of the Iron Dome for short-range rockets and mortar shells, the David's Sling for medium-range missiles, and the Arrow for long-range ballistic missiles. So Israel sees Iran, which has vowed to destroy the Jewish state, as its central enemy in the region. Israeli officials have repeatedly stated that Israel will not allow Iran to entrench itself in Syria, marking it as a red line that it will fight militarily if necessary. So many Bible scholars believe we may be starting to see a foreshadowing of a much larger conflict described in the book of Ezekiel, in which many nations, including Russia and Iran, launch an attack on Israel and are miraculously defeated by God's direct intervention. Whether that's true or not, we'll see. This sounds more like the Isaiah 17 war, if you ask me. But learn more about this stuff when just get on the internet and check it out. But before we run too quickly, let's look at the latest taunt. ISIS is threatening to attack a New York City subway. You ready for this? Well, ISIS's latest threat is against New York City, where the group has promised to attack the subway. A new poster appeared on a messaging platform used by the terror group showing a man standing inside Brooklyn Bridge Station at High Street, the Daily Mail reported. Behind him, sticks of dynamite are shown rigged to a timer. The poster states, "You will not expect where we will attack." The poster was produced by the group's propaganda wing, the Wafa Media Foundation, which also produced posters threatening the 2018 World Cup to be held in Russia. That poster states, quote, "Putin, you disbeliever, you will pay the price for killing Muslims. Just terror." So the group also threatened to attack Paris again. Last year, its propaganda was directed towards the Queen of England and the Vatican. And so, again, we have these stories about the threats. And I was just asking Patricia yesterday, have you noticed how quiet the terror issue has been recently in Europe, and how the whole Islamic invasion thing seemed to just disappear in the news of all the other stuff going on, and how we haven't seen anything of a terrorist attack, a school shooting, a church shooting, a concert shooting in Las Vegas, but not a real terror attack from Islamic, sleeper cells, terror cells that are in the United States. And now we're getting the idea of the threats. What I find interesting, there is a television program with Jack Bauer. Everybody remember him, Kiefer Sutherland. And it's called Designated Survivor. And I, don't recommend the program for its propaganda, but they do show in their latest series a dirty bomb going off in a subway in Washington, D.C., which leads to a war that breaks out in some foreign place. So I don't know if it's just in the atmosphere again or not, but a number of people are beginning to see open visions of mushroom clouds going off in the United States. We seem to be marching closer and closer to the unexpected reality because people have forgotten. People don't believe. And I believe personally that the Holy Spirit has revealed that in the mind of terrorism, their goal is to collapse this nation in one day by detonating somewhere between 7 and 15 nuclear bombs or dirty bombs in major cities across the United States at the same time, within the same hour. And that would just crush this nation with its $22 trillion debt and all the other things that are going on in America with our corruption and our demonic influences that are everywhere. Folks, somewhere you got to pay the piper. And the time of accountability sure does seem to be at hand. And it's a perfect time because of the lull, if you will, between the birth pangs. So we must continue to keep ourselves alert. We want to keep ourselves ready for whatever it is that is coming down the pike, to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And perhaps you are one of those Christian men and women that are counting the Omer every day. You're doing the countdown as revealed in Leviticus 23. And you would know that today, April 18th, we are in the 18th day of the counting of the Omer. And at sunset tonight, we'll begin the 19 days in the Omer. We're counting down to 50, which leads us to the next great feast in the economy of God. So, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haOlam Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah tav vetzi v'nu al seferat haOmer. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and the Holy Spirit, and commanded us concerning the counting of the Omer. So today is 19 days, which is 2 weeks and 5 days of the Omer. May the Merciful One restore unto us the service of the Bet HaMikdash to its place speedily in our days. That is the temple. They desire, the Jewish people, Israeli people, the Hebrews, the rabbis, the people that are there at the wall every day, they want their temple rebuilt. The temple, I believe, will play a major role in end time prophecy. I believe that 2 Thessalonians and Revelation chapter 11 are very clear that there will be a temple in Israel. Unfortunately, it will be used for the purposes of the Antichrist and further deception upon the mind of those who have rejected the Messiah and his true temple, which is the temple of his body, which temple you and I are. Well, the cry of the Israeli people is that may God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his countenance shine upon us forever, that your way be known on earth. And your way, you know, we know that the way of God is Christ Jesus, Yeshua. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And they're praying for the way. And the way has been revealed, but they're not willing to look at it yet. Many have. Your salvation among all nations. The nations will extol you. We believe that. O God, all the nations will extol you. The nations will rejoice and sing for joy, for you will judge the people justly and guide the nations on earth forever. And who's got the permission to judge? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the all ruler, and he is the one that's going to bring joy to all the earth under his millennial reign. Ladies and gentlemen, their prayers are all around it, and right in the center of it is the answer. May God open the eyes of the Jewish people that they may see, especially those according to the flesh. Now, the people will extol you, O God. All the peoples will extol you, for the earth will have yielded its produce, and God, our God, will bless us, and he has with Messiah Yeshua. God will bless us, and all from the farthest corners of the earth shall fear him. Now, Abraham is the father of many nations, right? Well, how was he the father of many nations? Out of his loins. And who came out of his loins? Messiah Yeshua. Jesus Christ is the promised seed that God made to Abraham, not according to the flesh with Isaac, but according to the spiritual promise. The Messiah came out of the loins of the Jewish nation from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who became Israel, the 12 tribes, and then, of course, Yeshua came 2,000 years ago as the promised seed, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in that seed, which is Christ, not just in Abraham according to the flesh. But we are the children of Abraham if we have faith, as Abraham had before he was circumcised. We ought to get real happy about that and let that faith that we have impute the righteousness of God upon our lives so that we could stand not guilty before the Lord, so that we may have a clear conscience to serve the Lord in these days. Well, there you have just a little bit of what's going on in the world today. We have threats coming back once again of terrorism, and we have a possible war forming with the Iranian people. But again, we go back to Isaiah chapter 17, and where is this all coming from? Where is Iran wanting to stabilize themselves? In Syria. And we have a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 17 that tells us that Damascus will disappear off the face of the earth, that it will be utter ruins. The oldest populated city in the world, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 15, is Damascus. And a prophecy 2,700 years ago has never been fulfilled. So what does it mean to you and I? You and I are living here. We seem to be, as Americans, by the way, before I go any further, I want us to pray. There is a pastor who's been in a Turkish prison that he may get the rest of his life if he doesn't have a supernatural deliverance. And I want to pray that in the season between Passover and Pentecost, like in Acts chapter 12, when an angel opened the prison gates and set Peter free, I want to ask the Lord to deliver this pastor out of that Turkish prison for being a Christian, for proselytizing in Turkey and leading people to faith in Jesus Christ, which is where the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians, that was the church that was there, that was a very powerful church in spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6. And what a glorious church the church at Ephesus was, but it became darkened by Islam. And there are still Christians there, and this pastor is in prison, and they want to put a sentence upon him. And we need to pray for a supernatural deliverance, that God would cause a breakout in Jesus' name, like the children of Israel broke out of the Egyptian house of bondage, and how Peter, during Passover, was also escaped from prison. May that become a reality? And also, ladies and gentlemen, something I definitely want to talk about here in our Facebook page is that we have a friend with a messenger report about 22. And I want to get this just get it just right here. There were 22 Christians that were getting ready to die. And these 22 Christians, this is coming from our dear friend Vi Hayek, who she's from Lebanon herself, and she asked everybody to pray that these 22 Christians that are being sentenced to death, I think it's today, that we would pray for them. And sadly, I can't find the article right now, but I certainly will find it. And bring us back up to speed on that, because that is really, really important. So let's pray right now for Christian men and women around the world who are suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ, as we are too often, as you know, at ease in Zion, taking it easy, enjoying the luxury life here in America. Those days are going to change, but let's pray right now for the saints of God that are laying their lives down. They don't have another chance to go on vacation with their families. These people are suffering big time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do come before you. And Lord, you have a whole group of people in this country and around the world that need to be employed in your end time business. And we are hearing of our brothers and sisters in other countries around the world who are being imprisoned and who are being put to death by Islamic regimes and contrary spirits to yours. We ask, number one, for their liberty. We ask for their freedom. We ask that you would deliver them. They might have great joy, but Father, most likely these people will not accept deliverance so that they would have a better resurrection. And they are counting it all joy to be able to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. What a contrary reality, Father God. May you give them bravery. May you give them boldness. May you give them comfort and peace by your Holy Spirit. May their enemies recognize that their fear tactics do not work, that all they could do is kill the body, but after that, there's nothing more they can do. May that become a revelation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we just pray a blessing upon these people and upon their families. And if it is possible, and in your economy, Lord, to deliver them, set them free for great joy and rejoicing, then do it, Father. Send your mighty angels, bind the demonic forces, and show the power of your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. The White House sent a gentleman that is new to the business, not really new, you know, Mike Pompeo. He is the CIA director. Well, he was recently, without anybody knowing it, sent to North Korea to meet with none other than Kim Jong-un. And there's an interesting conversation going on about that meeting. And wouldn't that be the strangest thing in the world that North Korea would all of a sudden abandon its nuclear program and become friends and open their borders to the world and people would pour in and it would, you know, in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that's exactly what's going to happen. Is that going to happen right now? Nah, that's not going to happen right now. But whatever conversations are going on, whatever's going on with Iran, whatever's going on behind the scenes with these wars that are, you know, moving right now. It was interesting. And I'll tell you what a glorious day it will be. Would you agree with me that it will be a glorious day when the nations of the earth are actually at peace? Could you believe for that, ladies and gentlemen? It's going to happen one day. But here's a little report about the meeting with Pompeo when he met with Kim Jong-un. Let's listen. And I hope it doesn't go to a commercial deal here. They oftentimes do that. And of course it did.
Over. Hey, want to try it?
All right, hold on a second. You got to get through over. The commercials.
Hey, whoa,
this is a DirecTV commercial. Got to love the music.
Ensure he's well taken care of, even as you build your own plans for retirement. See how Lincoln can help protect your savings from the impact of long-term care expenses at Lincoln Financial.
I get a free commercial.
Hello and welcome to Fox News at Night. I'm Ed Henry in Washington, filling in for Shannon Bream on a busy news night. We have major developments out of California on immigration and breaking details on the horrifying in-air emergency that led to the first U.S. airline fatality in almost a decade. But first, our live coverage of the passing of former First Lady Barbara Bush continues. We've heard from presidents and first ladies from across the political divide. The Trumps declaring Barbara Bush will be remembered for her devotion to country and family.
Okay, so we'll get back to it. I was going to talk a little bit about Barbara Bush here in just a moment, but the Mike Pompeo, the CIA director, is the article I wanted to share with you about that. He did go on a trip, and we don't know much more than he just went and he met with Kim, and supposedly it was a really smooth meeting, whatever that means. And, you know, who is it that's backing up Kim Jong-un in North Korea? Do you know who the backers are? Is it China? Is it Russia? Who's backing Iran? Is it Russia? And China, you know, why does Russia and China kind of work together? I've always seen China as the great red dragon in the last days. You know why? Because Egypt was the great dragon in its days. It says that in the book of Ezekiel, that the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that great dragon. So the great dragon and in the last days is a great red dragon. And, you know, the symbol of China is the dragon, and we know that it's communistic in nature and heart, so we'll see where it all goes, but I have been talking here for about 29 minutes. I want to invite our listeners for the next 29 minutes, join in on the broadcast and hear your thoughts about what's going on today. So if you are interested in calling into the program, the number is 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. And what have we been talking about today? We've been talking about a war that seems to be forming with Iran against Israel. And again, does that not tie in with the Isaiah 17 prophecy? The Isaiah chapter 17 prophecy is that at the time when Damascus disappears from the face of the earth because of it's turned into rubble, at that same time, Israel will get hit and be made lean by a confederacy of nations round and about it. And going to war with Iran, if there's miscalculation, which I always believe that if there's ever going to be miscalculation, it would be right now in our wars. We need to be very careful because of the sin issue that has run rampant within our society. Now, I also want to challenge another thing here. I'd love to pick your brain on this one. Let me ask you a question. I heard a preacher on TV yesterday, and this preacher was talking about that we live in an age of Abraham. We live in the Abrahamic covenant age. We're not in the Israel under the law age. Abraham was before the law. And that now we're in a new covenant, we're in the age of grace, which is more connected to Abraham. And I get that. And this preacher said that because we're not under the law, God no longer judges nations according to the law. Like Deuteronomy 28 was under the law, when the nation of Israel sinned, God would bring war against it and all the different things. You know Deuteronomy 28. But because we're in the age of grace, that nations like ours, who know better, who are in covenant with God through the blood of Jesus and a new covenant, a covenant of grace, who have seen the prosperity of God, that judgment will not come upon us or any other nation because we're not under the law. Now, my first thought was, well, wait a second. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. And before there was ever a law, God judged the world in the days of Noah by sending a flood because of the wickedness of men's hearts, and God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah before there was ever a law. And so what is it that people are talking about when they say things like, well, in other words, what they're saying is, church in America, don't worry about anything. God is not going to judge America. And all the people that are saying that God is going to judge America are not being honest. They're not telling the truth. Because God doesn't judge according to the law anymore. But then again, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I read in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not have you ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So Paul's writing to the New Testament church of Corinth, and he doesn't want them ignorant about some things. It says in verse 3, they did all eat the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, again, how's he starting? Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant about how God dealt with these people, Paul says. These things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So my question is, why are preachers out there saying that God won't judge a nation like America or Russia or China or Israel or Iran or any other nation in the world? Has God withdrawn his overseeing eye and his glorious presence over the nations of the earth? Has God no longer any part with what's going on with the world today because we're under the Abrahamic covenant? But again, I go back and I think, well, in the days of Noah, God was judging the world. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, God was judging the nations. What are your thoughts? 818-369-0326 is the number to call. And then you want to press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right in. And what I'm forgetting to do here today, it's Wednesday. My brain is loose. Daniel Seckham, good morning, sir. How are you?
Very well, Pastor Vincent. How are you going?
Well, my deepest apologies. I'm sitting here talking away, and I'm forgetting it's Wednesday, and you're on the line. I just saw your number. Forgive me. So take it away. How are you, birthday boy?
I'm going very, very well. Listen, I've done the same thing, and it's a natural thing, you know. I've noticed as I'm getting older, my mind is not working the way it used to work. In fact, out of all the things I miss my mind the most.
I love that. That's very good. That's very good. Well, listen, let's get into that mind of yours that you have. And we're talking about articles today with Iran posing for war with Israel, and a prophecy out of Isaiah chapter 17 about Syria, and then terror threats coming against the United States again. What are all your thoughts about these things?
Birth pains. Absolutely birth pains. And it's interesting, Vincent. Every time we talk every Wednesday, it's almost as if we're seeing the birth pains becoming more intense and more closer together. More intense and more closer together. Exactly as Jesus said it would happen. And it's happening in all the areas where Bible says it's going to happen. You mentioned earlier about Damascus, as in Isaiah 17. And we also need to pick up on the fact that the book of Revelation talks about the Euphrates and how the angels being released to carry out their mission in regard to death and destruction coming from the river Euphrates, which is smack bang in the middle of Syria. So Syria is certainly a flashpoint, a place where we need to be watching very, very closely, along with Russia and along with Turkey and along with Iran. There is a lot going on at the moment. And as you highlighted earlier, Iran has said in the media that they have already set the date by which they will annihilate Israel, which I think is extraordinary, isn't it?
Well, yeah, especially in light of, what is it, Revelation 9 we talked about last week, where there's a hour, a day, a month, and a year that this war breaks out that kills a third of the population on Earth. My God, that's interesting.
It is. It is. So things are heating up in that particular region. And I tell you what, I held my breath over the weekend. as many of us were holding our breath, because we knew just we knew that the warnings and the threats that were coming from Vladimir Putin, that that if America did retaliate, that it would have grave consequences. And thankfully, and I believe that thankfully, due to the prayers of believers who were praying all over the world, it didn't eventuate into a wider conflict, which would have had been absolutely devastating. So for my birthday, which was on Sunday, my prayer, I said, Lord, for my birthday, I just pray that it won't, that there won't be a thermonuclear war. So that was my prayer for my birthday on Sunday. And thankfully, it didn't spill over into a wider conflict. So, however, that's not to say that it won't happen in future. One thing about the Russians is that if they have been dealt a card in which they lose dealing in positive assets, they would then work in negative assets. They have this approach in which, you know, if they are set back, they'll look at another course of action. You know, so this is one thing that we need to understand, is that also too, there's no particular time limit by which they will retaliate. So one of the things I thought was concerning that I read in regard to Russia's response, especially by Russia's ambassador to the United States, he said that they already have a course of action, a pre-designed course of action that they will put in place. And that was very, very sobering to consider, that. So, yeah, we need to be mindful in regard to that, because, you know, as it says in regard to Daniel's vision, the bear, it is said of the bear that it can, that to have its fill of flesh. When will it have its fill of flesh? Well, we'll still need to wait and see. But it's, yeah, there's a lot of concerning things that are happening around about. But thank God we are spared, we were spared a major war over the weekend.
Well, that's well said. And Daniel, let me ask you a question. Who is it that is playing this chess game? I mean, obviously, when we talk about proxy wars, Iran fighting through proxies like Hamas or Hezbollah, those would be the pawns on the board. And I do see this as a great chess match right now. And obviously, I believe the United States of America is on one side of the board. Who's on the other side of the board? Is it Russia? Is it China? Is it the globalist? Is it the New World Order? Is it Islam, or are they the pawns on the board? Who do you see the two players right now? I mean, God and Satan, obviously, but in this global chess game that's going on, these moves that are being made very carefully, very calculated. I know Russia, Putin loves to play chess, but I'm not so sure, you know, how we stand. Who would you say the two big players in the world are right now, moving these pieces on the chessboard?
Well, there are so many nefarious actors at the moment. It really is a bit of a dog's breakfast when you look at the scenario out there, which really makes it deeply concerning if America were to ever be removed from the stage. I mean, the vacuum that would be left by that, and the nasty players that would fill that void, is truly sobering. But yes, there are various different elements that we need to consider, including the globalists. The globalists, which are really what you need to watch, and this is where you really need to look at the United Nations, because the United Nations have already have written within their charter, if there was to be a global catastrophe, that the United Nations will step in basically with emergency powers to, and this is all what you need to look into in regard to Agenda 21, in regard to its the in usurping global governance. So the globalists is definitely the players that are the ones to watch for. These are the ones who were frothing at the mouth when Trump got elected. These are the ones who are bent, hell-bent on bringing about this. Well, it could only better be said by saying it will be a Babylon 2.0. You know, it's going to be where the world will all come together and become a monoculture, where everything will be melted together. Everything, all the peoples together will join together with one common good, with one common, everything becomes one, which was exactly what we saw in the Tower of Babel. So this spirit of Babel, this globalist spirit is really the nefarious agenda that we need to watch out for, which also encompasses China. China have explicitly stated that the world needs to head towards global governance, as with Russia. As you know, they all want a slice of the pie. They all are jostling to be the head honcho when the global governance comes into play. And of course, the only nation that stands in the way of this global government is the United States of America in its current form. You know, the United States, the constitutional republic of the United States, with its limited government in which it prevents tyrannical dictators from ever coming to power, is the very thing that is holding back a global socialist government from appearing. So that's something we definitely need to consider. And, you know, and again, I believe that it really is not that far away, you know. Whether America will disappear suddenly, in which I believe, or which it'll disappear gradually, America eventually will not be there to prevent all these nefarious agendas and plans from happening. And of course, the pinnacle of all of those nefarious agendas and plans is the destruction of Israel. And this is, of course, the ultimate satanic agenda, is to destroy that the nation of Israel. And this is why America has so many enemies on the other. You know, they have the globalists, there's Russia, there's China. But then, of course, you have to also mention Islam with Iran, because Iran has made it explicitly clear that they want to destroy the United States. You know, this is why with every Al-Quds Day, they shout death to America, death to Israel, death to America, death to Israel. So this is these are the opposition players across the board from America at the moment. And so it's not exactly boring times we're living in at the moment.
No, not at all. And let's go back to just something you said earlier about the globalist. How does the left that's operating in the United States of America today fit into the globalization of things?
Oh, very well. Just like hand in glove. And this is something that has been talked about, not just with... I mean, we know that the Democrats work hand in glove with the socialists, the Democrat platform is very, very similar to the platform of many socialist countries. Even if you go to the Communist Party USA website and look at their platform and compare it to the Democrat platform, it's virtually the same. So, however, that said, there are even some elements within the Republican Party that are echoing the same thing. We saw this with George Bush Sr., who actually said that we need to move towards a new world order. So what does a new world order mean, other than the obvious realization that the old world order needs to be swept away? And, you know, it's funny how the left refer to themselves as progressives. Now, progressives is not a a new term that they have described themselves. The communists operating within America in the 1950s were calling themselves progressives. So this has been going on for the past 60 years in calling themselves progressives. And of course, it makes all sense with why they call themselves that, because they want to give people the impression that moving away from our Christian heritage into secularism is all about progress. It's all about progress. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. There's nothing progressive about moving towards an ideology that has brought about the deaths of over 135 million people. In fact, there have been more deaths in times of peace than there have in times of war, thanks to communism. There has been more deaths in the 20th century than all other centuries combined, thanks to communism. So this ideology is being spread about in the humanities and in the universities in America's top colleges, is, you know, under the guise of equity and equality. This is the same ideology that is responsible for the deaths of hundreds of millions of people. And yet they are pushing it so hard by a tiny minority of activists within the country. But as the saying goes, it only takes a few barking dogs to control a herd of hundreds and hundreds of sheep. And that's unfortunately where America finds itself right now.
Yeah, very powerful forces at work. And, you know, it would be a foolish thing for anybody to sit down, including the devil, but he's self-deceived, and play a game of chess with God. God's always going to win. But right now, these forces, the left, the UN, the Global Agenda 21, China, Russia, Islam, are we in agreement, Daniel, that what we as Christian men and women are watching as other men and women of faith are being put into prison? We have a pastor in Turkey that may be life sentenced there, 22 that are supposed to be sentenced to death today, I believe it is. Men and women are dying for their faith around the world. They're not afraid of death. They know that after physical death, there's nothing more anybody could do to them. They're going to have a great resurrection. But for people like us in the West that are watching what's going on around the world, as we're seeing these major players, what really should be the response of Christian men and women today? What should the body of Christ be doing at this moment, here at home, in the land of luxury, in comfort, and, you know, sports and operas and, you know, all the stuff we have in Disneyland America, Disneyland West, you know, Western culture? What should we be doing?
That is really the question that everyone is asking at the moment. And I believe that there is no one answer. I believe there is a bunch of different things that needs to be considered. First of all, we do not sit back and just let the satanic agenda have its course. The Bible is explicitly clear that we have an obligation to speak up for those who are on their way towards slaughter. So we need to take a stand for righteousness. We need to speak up against the forces of evil. We need to be the salt of the earth. And salt in the ancient world was very much associated with preventing decay. And this is what they rubbed into meat to prevent meat from going off, because they didn't have refrigerators back then. So we need to be able to be that anti-decaying agent of society, where we are letting our voice be heard. And, you know, it's really sad, Vincent, because so many Christians these days are saying the same thing, in which they say, "I'm done with politics. I'm done with politics." I don't think there can be any more of a more negligent thing to say or dangerous thing to say. In other words, what they're doing, they are conceding politics and handing the realm of politics over to the enemy, giving it to the left on a silver platter. And I just think that is so unbelievably negligent. Now, I need to say that, of course, we don't need to treat politics as an idol and be so obsessed with it where we completely neglect our Christian faith. No, that's the other extreme, but we can't also ignore the other extreme also. Unfortunately, there is a pernicious movement within many Christian circles where is to abstain from politics is considered a virtue. And I think it's an absolute tragedy that this is going on, and it's a satanic agenda that needs to be addressed. As Christians, we have every obligation to get involved in politics. And people forget where the original word politics actually comes from. It basically means it literally means from the Latin politikos, which means in relating to citizens, in relation to citizenry. So in other words, Christians have every right to be involved with the affairs of citizens. So to not be so is to forsake Jesus' commandment to be the light of the world and to be the salt of the earth. So we need to be active in wherever we can in preventing evil from spreading, and that's our Christian duty. Now, the other thing that we need to do, Vincent, is that we need to prepare, because the reality is that no matter how much we do, and no matter how much we warn, and no matter how much we motivate ourselves to action, the amount of evil that's in the world today has so much momentum that a lot of that momentum will not be able to be stopped. And Jesus warned. He said, in the last days there'll be increase of wickedness. He says you'll be hated by all nations because of me. So considering that, we need to prepare. We need to be mindful in regard that we are living in a world that is becoming more and more hostile by the day. So how do we prepare for that? Well, we need to work while we have daylight, because night is coming when no man can work. We need to be mindful of the fact that at the moment, the demonic, the satanic elements operating within American society, at the moment, they are working on demonizing their opponents, which is us. But the time will come where the left, where the enemies of Christianity in our culture will go from demonizing us to dehumanizing us. This is the next big cultural movement that we'll see. And interestingly, you know, the left like talk a lot about white privilege, but it's only just recently where they're beginning to talk about Jew privilege and even Christian privilege. This is basically the Marxist term in which they are demonizing those who they perceive as having so-called privilege. You know, and so we need to be mindful that the world is going to become more and more hostile as it becomes more and more desperately wicked. And so that's what I would say in how we need to address that.
Well, that's an outstanding answer. And when you kind of put it all together, I was thinking about pockets of glory, and I thought about Goshen. And Goshen in the Hebrew means drawing near. And God's people do need to draw near to the Lord and find community, preparing refuges. I do believe it is the right thing to do. And Daniel, if I'm hearing clearly what you're saying, the United States is going to be taken out. Israel is going to get hit and made thin. And there must be, for the fulfilling of prophecy, the Antichrist power that will take root all over the world for a period of time. We know it is 3.5 years in Revelation chapter 13. And the forces that are going to be employed by God potentially could be China, Russia, the whole caliphate of Islam that would come under the power of Iran for a season, who knows. But there are some mighty powerful forces that God could use to bring a nation like ours down, who really hides behind a tremendous amount of propaganda and that type of thing. And an exposure at the weakness of our corruption and sin. Are we on track on that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just remember what Thomas Jefferson said. He said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever." Now, remember, he said that all those years back then, you know. So we need to be mindful that God's judgment is basically hanging over that great nation of the United States. I hate saying that, you know. I always hate saying that because I'm an optimistic guy and I love America dearly. I love America. And it pains me to say that, but I believe that America will be judged. America will be chastised. There's no question about that. I believe, you know, and I keep saying this, but I'll say it again. I believe Billy Graham was absolutely correct when he said if God were to excuse America for his sins, he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, said, "As a nation, we've become desensitized to the value of human life." And that's also evidenced in the 60 million children whose lives have been ended through abortion in this country since 1973. He says, "My prayer is that America will wake up before it's too late because God's judgment is coming." How right he is. There are some say that God, that America will not be judged. And I will say, well, they are absolutely wrong. As an Australian, I see America's influence upon my nation. You know, it used to be influence that was for the good. But over the past 20 years, especially over the past 10 years, the influence coming from America has been nothing but cancerous and toxic upon this nation of Australia and over many other nations around the world. And it's just a matter of time before God says enough is enough. But as I have said previously with you, Vincent, and this is why we need to keep in mind, you know, people say, well, you know, Abraham begged with God and said, "God, will you not, for just five righteous people, you know, prevent this disaster from coming on Sodom for just for these five righteous people?" And the answer to that is yes. God will be sparing people, but that is not going to stop the judgment that's coming. That did not stop judgment from coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah. He just provided a way for those righteous people to be protected during that judgment. People need to remember that. The same goes for the Christians in Rome. There were many Christians and many churches in Rome when Rome was destroyed and when Rome was sacked. So we need to remember that just because Christians are living in a city doesn't mean that that city isn't going to be judged. Just because Christians are living in a country doesn't mean that that country isn't going to be judged. You know, in many respects, the judgment is more intense considering the amount of Christianity that is found in a particular nation. You know, the more that a particular nation understands, the more that a particular nation understands Christianity, the less excuse that they have when it comes to when it comes to God's judgment. So these are the things that we need to keep in mind. God's judgment is coming. There's no doubt about that. We need to prepare our hearts for that, for when that happens. So when all these storms all come around us, we need to remember Jesus is in our boat in the midst of the storm. We need to trust him. The safest place is to be in God's will.
Amen. Well said. What people need to do is read Ezekiel chapter 14, where it says, "Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, Job, were in it, they would only deliver their own souls by their righteousness." So that is
amen.
Yes, what you're saying, Ezekiel 14. Everybody should read that. I'm running out of time, but I tremble in my spirit in a right way when I think about the prophecies that have been spoken over a nation, what would happen if it refused to repent. When I think about a nation becoming a nation of refugees, natural disasters, civil war, terrorism, and we are in between birth pangs right now, and there's something swirling, big events on the way. People should make their way to drawing near to God in communities, which is a Goshen. We need to be in those safe places in the days ahead, not based out of fear, but wisdom to foresee the storm that is coming down the pike. Daniel, I've run out of time. My brother, Patricia Joy Xavier, is breathing down my neck. and is ready to come and bring her message to the airwaves. We love you so much and appreciate your insights as always, Daniel. God bless you for calling in
today. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. God bless. All right, we're going to turn it over to Patricia. Before we do, I've got to go to a little tiny break that helps our friend Kyle help us with getting things prepared. We'll be right back.
What an incredible program. One more time. The Lord is speaking clearly, precisely through his vessels. And I am thankful for that, because I'll tell you this, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every word that is spoken against us is going to be condemned. This is the word of God. And I am praising his holiness today because he is so good, so perfect, and so right in everything. And I am blessing those who have given opportunity to be on radio. And I also am thankful for everything God has done regarding our life and our, it's just wonderful. But there has been a talk regarding judgment in this day that we're in, of a minister who has said there is no judgment in the New Testament. Well, I beckon to disagree. And I know I'm hearing a lot of that, but I think it's operation through fear. Let me bring forth Romans 1 to you, starting in 18. It says that, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, evil men who push away the truth from them. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. And since earliest times, men have seen God and all that God made, and have known of his existence and great eternal power. So they will have no excuse when they stand before God at judgment day. And then it goes on to say in verse 29, speaking about Sodom and Gomorrah, it says this, so it was that when God gave up and would not even acknowledge them, God gave them up to doing everything their evil minds could think of. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness and sin, of greed and hate, envy, murder, fighting, lying, bitterness, and gossip. Don't we see that right now in our own nation? And then it goes on to say they were backbiters, haters of God. You know, there was a chick flick opened up in New York City, and everybody was really happy about it because it's an incredible Christian organization, great fast foods, and wonderful way of getting things done. But they were saying, we don't want this here, and their silly notions. And they've been successful. They've been successful all over the nation. But the New Yorkers were saying, we don't want them to open up here right on in the middle of New York Times Square because of their notions and their ways. And they were Christians that opened that up. And so what we're seeing is haters of God, insolent, proud, braggarts, always thinking of new ways of sinning and continually being disobedient to their parents. Aren't we seeing that today? They tried to misunderstand, broke their promises, and were heartless without pity. And they were fully aware of God's death penalty for these crimes, yet they went right ahead and did them anyway, and encouraged others to do them too. Well, you may be saying, what terrible people you have been talking about. But wait a minute. You are just as bad when you say they are wicked and should be punished. You are talking about yourselves, for you do these very things also, the Lord was saying. And we know that God in justice will punish anyone who does such things as these. Do you think that God will judge and condemn others for doing them and overlook you when you do them too? Don't you realize how patient he has been with you? Or don't you care? Can't you see that he has been waiting for all this time without punishing you to give you time to turn from your sin? His kindness is meant to lead you to repentance, but no, you won't listen. And so you are saving up terrible punishment for yourselves because of your stubbornness in refusing to turn from your sin. For there is going to come a day of wrath when God will be the just judge of all the world, and he will give each one whatever his deeds deserve. Now, you see, these are the things that are being overlooked in the church today because they don't want to talk about it. Everything is grace, 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 but no responsibility. Body of Christ, we have a responsibility. We have been granted everything we need on the cross. But we have a responsibility for our souls because our souls have been given justice. And we need to keep that justice. He will give eternal life to those who patiently do the will of himself, seeking for the unseen glory and honor and the eternal life that he offers. But he will terribly punish those who fight against the truth of God and walk in evil ways. God's anger will be poured out upon them. So there will be judgment. Scriptures also tells us that judgment starts in the house of God and then in the world in the New Testament. So, body of Christ, what are we doing? And those who are listening, please know that he is a just God, a loving God, a graceful God, a wonderful God. But on the other hand, if you go against truth and purpose, what do you have? That judgment you put upon yourself. In other words, the hand of protection is removed. How could he protect evil? He can't. He wouldn't be a just God if he did. And then there were a number of things spoken of about Russia and the terrible consequence of World War III and what it all means. But we have to understand something. It's already been prophesied to happen. Let me read the prophecy to you. It says, Son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, who is Russia, and Gog is that prince, that king of Russia, that president of Russia, that administrator of Russia, the prince of Rosh. It was called Rosh in those days. Meshech and Tubal. These are the people that will be coming with Russia. Prophesy against him and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I will turn you about, put hooks in your jaw. That's what he's doing. He's putting hooks in the jaw of Russia. I'll bring you out, all your army, in other words, their cohorts, those that are working with them, horses and horsemen. They didn't see what we have today as planes and what have you, but in war they used horses and horsemen. They couldn't see what we would be fighting with in these days, like missiles. He's going to bring them down to Israel. Now, my question is, why do we think Gog, Magog, and this group were talking about Russia? Why would they do this? What is this? Where are we at this time of stability in the Soviet Union? Where are we at in terms of, did they go back to military dictatorship? Is that what they want? What kind of force do they still have in terms of power? What would we be facing? And I think we have to look at a number of situations here. Why would they do this? Because they are involved with the Muslim nations. Russia is involved with the Muslim nations. Those are the nations that I was naming earlier, only in the name of those nations in the time where it was written thousands and thousands of years ago. Certainly those Muslim nations want Israel's annihilation because of what Muslim theology teaches. And here's what we don't understand. Muslim theology teaches that wherever Muslim feet had stood on the planet, Earth, that area of the world, from that time on belongs to, exclusively, to their Muslim God, Allah. Now, strangely enough, it's already written in scripture that wherever we put our feet, Israel, Christians, we take it for God. We take it for the land of God. And they have copied much from the Old Testament into their Quran. Let me go on. If any Muslim government doesn't have to be a Jewish government, it could be an American, Canadian, German, or French government. If any non-Muslim government is in control of that area or the world, that is a slap in the face, an embarrassment, a dishonor to their God. Therefore, if you're really a devout Muslim or Muslim, you have the duty to do what you can to annually take away that non-Muslim government. It is your job to do that. And historically, many Muslim people have lived in the land of Israel. And so according to Muslim theology, that land belongs to their Muslim God, Allah. And so for the honor of their God, they must try to do away with Israel. Russia, on the other hand, wants to lead this for more than one reason. They are the ones that are going to lead, Gog and Magog. And the Muslim nations will go along with him. And interestingly enough, there is a secular independent intelligence agency that says that here in Great Britain, here is the current thinking of the disgruntled officers of the Russian military. They're very disturbed over how their great nation has fallen apart. And it at the seams, beginning in 1991, but they are saying that Russia can still have superpower status in the world if it will ally itself or ally itself with the Islamic nations of the world against Israel. And so they will ally themselves with the Islamic nations again to have superpower status. And that's what it's all about. So what do we do? We say there's no judgment? There is judgment. And that judgment starts in the house of God, saith the Lord. And it is very interesting that we are living in a time such as this. It's an incredible situation. And moreover, we must know what we're dealing with here. We must know that we are dealing not with flesh and blood of Russia or Turkey or Iran or Syria. We are dealing with the demonic presence, the ruling spirits of this world, and Satan and his cohorts, along with Russia and their cohorts, are ready to take the world for the Antichrist spirit. Now, we must understand as Christians that this spiritual warfare will have to deal with Christians that are truly Christians, because Satan isn't interested in any other. He's not interested in so-called Christians that don't act as Christians. He's in interested in the true, real, blood-bought Christian with great faith. And what Satan wants to do is to enter into our soul realm and take up residence within us. And so he looks for an opening through sin. And remember, it was spoken of in Scripture, sin will be judged. Sin will be judged. We're not going to be judged for what we don't know. We're going to be judged for what we do know and won't do a thing about. And so we have to remember that they are spirit, and they will connect themselves anywhere where they have a legal right by our permission through sin. And we went in, we got more involved with this the last time I spoke with you, which was yesterday. And the soul is that part of you which needs to be restored and saved and delivered, because there is where sin lies. Now, regarding devils, evil spirits, in which I wrote my book about, the first thing we must understand is that all devils are liars and deceivers. They cannot be trusted by anything. And if a government is not based on true Christian values as a real, true Christian heart, a heart that has been tested, then I tell you this, they're not to be trusted. You can't trust that. A true Christian won't lie. A true Christian won't bring forth fake news and confusion. They will tell the truth, because that's what our word tells us to do. Lying is an abomination toward God. The Bible even says that liars will not enter into the kingdom of God. You can't even enter in if you're a liar. So if you're truly in the kingdom of God, you have to tell the truth as you know it to be, as much as the Holy Spirit shows you. Not your truth. The truth of God, the Holy Spirit revealing through discernment what is good and what is evil. So liars and deceivers can't be trusted in anything, and the truth is not in them. It just is not in them. They're confused. They're in deception. And that's why we have all this confusion and division in the United States right now. We don't think alike anymore. We're divided. We have all different kinds of concepts of what is right and what is wrong. You can't live that way. If we, you know, can grab just one of these evil spirits, these evil beings, if we can do that, it would be something that would be incredible. If I had an opportunity to wring out their evil, any one of these demons, I would use them as a dishcloth. I would wring them out like one. But let me say this also. Deliverance is our right. And if you desire to be a deliverer on Mount Zion, meaning in the church of God, in this, in his high place, where he walked, where he cast out devils, if you desire to set people free, this is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. And if we did wring out Satan like a dishcloth, we wouldn't find one drop of truth in him. This is something to meditate on, because I don't think we think about it. Satan and his cohorts and his demons are so separated from God that they have nothing of value. Nothing of goodness, nothing of truth. What do you want them for? Why would anybody want to worship Satan? The reason is because of pride and selfishness and self-desires for moi, themselves. Forget everybody else. Well, that's just the way the devil is. He's full of pride. Satan is full of pride. He fell from his first estate, went into the Garden of Eden, and deceived the first human being made by God's hand. And ever since then, the fall. But we are now renewing through understanding what is true. And he has given us this right on the cross by being that sacrifice for what we did way back in the garden so that we can be delivered from that original sin. So is it any wonder that Jesus mostly referred to Satan and his demons as unclean spirits? I can think of nothing that would be more unclean than entities without anything of God in them. Can you think of anything worse to touch, let alone to allow to live within you, to reside within you? Yet, millions of Christians, and they do this out of ignorance, are doing just that this very moment as I speak. And we must be keenly aware of the nature of these demons if we are going to successfully engage and defeat them on the battleground of spiritual warfare and cast them out into the dry place where they will suffer intensely and not come back to where they have their place in your or my life or any other life. So I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, for that purpose and that reason. And in the following chapters, I will instruct you from the Word on key ways to stop Satan's attacks and how to defeat him every time. Are you interested? If you are, bless you. I will talk to you tomorrow.